You would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We are continuing this long series on the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And we shift gears a little bit. For a few weeks, we're going to be talking about motives, because Jesus was talking about motives. We talked last week where Jesus talked about motive and giving. And this week, he's talking about our motives in prayer. We're going to take a look at some wrong motives for prayer, and then we're going to look at how he instructs us to pray. But it will mean very little if we don't understand the importance of prayer. We all know we should pray, but the question is, do we all pray? Prayer is meant to be one of the most meaningful and one of the most significant experiences that we have in life. It's not a one-time thing, but it's an ongoing conversation. It's meant to be one of the most meaningful and significant experiences we have in life. But my question is this. Is that your experience? Can you say that my prayer life is one of the most meaningful and significant experiences that I have in life? So what makes it so meaningful? What makes it so significant? Well, simply put, prayer is our line of communication with God. No prayer equals no communication. Where there is no communication, there is no depth of relationship. The first breakdown in any marriage is the ability to communicate with one another. Never talk to your spouse and see how deep your relationship goes with them. It's going to remain shallow. You know, what I find interesting is famous people of all, whether it's sports, music, actors, whatever, so many people have unlisted phone numbers. Why is that? To protect their privacy. If we put the phone number up here of your favorite celebrity, and it went on the internet for the whole world to see, how many of you think that they would be bombarded with people wanting to talk to them? So they get a private line. But yet, God does not have a private line. He has an open line for each one of us to access him. And that line is called prayer. His number is listed. P-R-A-Y-E-R. And the thing of it is, his line is never busy, and you never put on hold.
Amen.
But how many people today call and treat this line as if it was 911? How many times do you call 911? Only in the case of what?
Emergency.
An emergency. There are some people who only turn to God in prayer in cases of emergency.
That's right.
God never intended this line of communication to be a 911. He wants it to be more like texting your buddy. Alright? And he wants it a daily ongoing experience. He wants us to communicate with him regularly. But the question is, how many of us actually do? We're going to see in the scriptures that we're looking at today, Jesus addresses the issue of personal prayer. He's got some really interesting things to say. And the first thing he does is he points out some wrong motives in prayer. Okay, so let's read the scriptures and then we'll go from there. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5 through 8. Jesus said, "And when you pray, you're not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." There are three things here, three wrong motives that Jesus brings up in these scriptures. Wrong motive number one for personal prayer is you do it to be seen. The first part of verse 5, Jesus said, "And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites." And again, a hypocrite is defined as an actor who wears a mask. Okay, and what he was saying is the hypocrites are those who, it's not really who they are, okay? So, "And when you pray, you're not to be as hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and in the street corners in order to be seen by men." In other words, hypocrites pray, but they do it for the wrong reason. They do it to be seen by others, inside the church, the synagogue, and outside the church, the street corner, out where the world lives. Okay, they want people to kind of fawn all over them. "Wow, did you hear Fred pray today? Wasn't that awesome?" You see, there's no interest or attempt to dial in and communicate with God. So they pray only to impress those around them. My little granddaughter, she's 4 now. She's 4 now, but when she was 2 and 3, she'd be at our house. She'd have this phone. And she'd be talking to nobody. She'd be talking. Nobody's on the other end. That's sort of what a hypocrite does, is they talk to be heard, but God isn't on the other end. There's no connection. All right? Yeah, that's what Jesus is saying, is these people pray to be seen. I think it's interesting that he said in that verse, "For they love to stand in the synagogue and street corners to be seen by them." They love to pray. They, at least that's something good we can say about them. They do it for all the wrong reasons, but at least they love to pray. How many here can say, "I love to pray"? Again, they loved it, but for all the wrong reasons. I find it interesting, it's possible to pray and even love it, but yet not know God personally. So these Pharisees, they didn't know God. They were just all about the pomp and circumstance of being noticed. I've been in several Muslim countries, Ivory Coast, Morocco, some other ones, and what I have observed, especially in Morocco, which is 95% or more Muslim, when the call to prayer goes out, the good Muslims, the bad Muslims just ignore it, but the good Muslims, probably half the people do. Regardless of where they're at, they will drop down and face back up and pray. Pretty impressive. when some people, some Christians are too embarrassed to pray over a meal in public. But here, a devoted Muslim will pray faithfully to a God that they don't know. Actually, to not the God I serve. But yet, they pray. And as Christians, we have an opportunity. God is saying, the line is open. Come and spend time with me. But do we? So we see the first motive, the wrong motive for prayer, is you do it just to be seen. The second one is to be praised. Verse 5 goes on to say, Jesus said, truly I say to you, they had their reward in full. Again, the only reason they do it is to gain the praise and the approval of man. They want to impress other people and so that people will talk about them and fawn all over them and just see them as being super spiritual. I found it very interesting. A couple of years ago, Anthony Yeboah brought the president of Burundi, a country in Africa, to Grand Rapids. And there was a luncheon that the president spoke at, and a really elegant luncheon. Probably 100-150 people were there, pastors and civic leaders. And Anthony asked me to come up and pray for the food and kind of open the luncheon in prayer. And so I go up there, and the president of Burundi is on one side, his wife is on the other. I'm praying. And when Anthony asked me, I said, sure. He says, yes, my brother, I want you to be the one to come up and pray. And, okay. So I went up and prayed. I went and sat back down. Anthony told me later that he has some blowback because there's some pastors who went up and said, I should have done the one up there. Really? But find me. Could have loved it, you know. But it even exists today. You know that people of the religious spirit, they want to be seen, they want to be heard, they want to look at me. And that's what Jesus is just talking about here. He goes on to say that they've received their reward in full, the praise of men. Now, there's nothing wrong with being honored by men and that type of a thing, but if that's all you seek, that's all you're going to get. Okay? And Jesus said they have the reward in full. In other words, their prayers did nothing to move the hand of God. I don't know about you, but I want my prayers to reach the throne of God and move the hand of God. Okay. So that's the second thing is that to be seen, to be praised, and third is to be heard. Verse 7, Jesus said, and he's given some instruction, and we'll come back to some of this, but he said, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, unbelievers, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. But let me say this, Jesus doesn't have a problem necessarily with repetition. Okay? If you look at when he was in the garden praying, there's a verse that says that he went back a third time and prayed the same thing over again. So three times he prayed the same thing. Jesus said meaningless repetition, vain repetition. Alright? In other words, to get a prayer that there's nothing wrong with having a prayer written out. The whole issue is, does the prayer come from the heart? Or are you just rattling off a bunch of words? All right? And two, meaningless repetition is that you think there's something magical about words in front of you, or if you remember them by rote, and you just rattle them off while your mind is thinking one thing and your heart is someplace else, but yet the words are coming out of your mouth, that's meaningless repetition. In verse 8, he says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts. Matthew 15, verse 8. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Did you know with prayer that we don't have to speak a lot? Matter of fact, I think God prefers that we don't. I'll think about it. 911 call. Oh God, help me, I'm in trouble. Oh God, get me out of this mess. Thank you very much. Bye. Let me do some drink. Hello?
Hello?
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to prayer, prayer is all about connecting our heart to God. Okay? And listening, and in Revelation says to every church, it says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Prayer is as much about listening and hearing God as it is the petitions and the requests that we raise up to him. Now that's a part of it, but that is the kind of the surface, shallow level part of prayer. There's so much more depth and meaning. Prayer is more about the quality of our heart than the quantity of our words. It is so important to be engaged with our heart and our mind more than our mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I remember years ago, probably 34, 35 years ago, I was at a prayer meeting, and it was in the back of the sanctuary, and someone shared a vision that they looked toward the front of the sanctuary, and it was like a Sunday morning, they could see the congregation and the pastor up front, and the pastor said, let's pray. And everybody bowed their heads. And the pastor began to pray, but the instruction was to everybody, let's pray. All of us, let's pray. And out of about 150, 200 people, there was 8, 10 people where it was like smoke or incense rising from their hands. And the Lord said, those are the only ones that are truly praying. Everybody else is going through the motions. Everybody is bowed again. We all know the right motions to go through. Some are thinking about what's for dinner, you know, how long is this prayer going to go, and their heart wasn't engaged, their mind wasn't engaged, but they looked like they were praying. God saw those who were genuinely engaged, heart and mind, in the act of praying. And that's what God is interested in, is that we connect heart and mind with him. Now, as I talk about this, the wrong motives of prayer, I don't think, at least in America, you know, prayer, the issue of prayer isn't people praying with wrong motives. The issue is just people not praying, for the most part. I want to give you three essentials for a healthy prayer life that Jesus alludes to. And again, if you don't realize the importance of prayer, that is, it is meant to be one of the most significant experiences in our life in an ongoing way. If you don't value prayer for what it is and what it can be, there will be no incentive to really enter into it. But let me give you three essentials for a healthy prayer life. Number one is that of time. Jesus said it in verse 6, first part of it. He says, but when you pray, No, not if you pray, but when you pray, there is an assumption here that Christians pray. And I'm talking more than over a meal in public, or maybe at home around the table. I'm talking about connecting with God, waiting until He answers on the other end. Let's face it, prayer takes time. It takes time in a busy, distracting world. That means we have to prioritize. I don't think prayer is an issue of time, although we do need time. Prayer really is an issue of priority and will. Truth is, we find or make the time to do the things that are important to us. Don't we? You want to spend time with your grandkids? You're going to make it happen. You want to spend time with your kids? You're going to make it happen.
Yep.
You want to go play golf or do anything else? You're going to make it happen. You want to go shop? You want to get on Facebook for Lord knows how long? You'll find the time to make those things happen. But when it comes to prayer, I just don't have time. Life is just so busy. It's not so much a matter of time as it is priority and will, the desire to want to do it. And let me just say this. If prayer is important to you, you'll do it. And if it isn't important to you, you won't. It's that simple. If time truly is a factor, evaluate how much time you spend on the computer, on Facebook, emailing, how much time you spend texting, how much time you spend in front of the television, how much time that you spend doing things in an attempt to connect with people, while all the while God is waiting for His phone to ring, saying, I'm here. I want time. So the first thing that we need for a healthy prayer life is out of time. Secondly, we need location. Jesus said further in verse 6, it says, but when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. I think that's interesting. Your Father who is in secret. You want to connect with God? If you want to connect with God, you got to find secret place. Getting alone with God can be a scary thought for anyone who knows that they're not living right, that they have issues in their life. Why in the world would I want to get alone with God when I know I have this pornography addiction, or when I have just ripped apart this person over here, or you know, why would I want to go get alone with God? Because when we get alone with God, there's this transparency that, I mean, we know that God knows. And it's uncomfortable. Remember years ago, this guy dealt with Billy Graham on a course, and they got all done, and the guy came to my house, and all his buddies said, what's it like dealing with Billy Graham? And he said, I hated it, so I'll never do it again. I had the opportunity. And they said, why? What was wrong? He says, like, it was preached. Well, what did he say? Well, he didn't really say anything. It was just something that there was a conviction being that close to a man of God. And if there's something not right in our lives, and we go into that secret place where our Father is, don't you think that He's going to love us enough to say, hey, let's get this done. The question is, do we want it to do it? When it comes to location, we need to be, number one, find a place where we can be unobserved that were out of the sight of man so that we could pray and interact freely with God. When I pray, now, everything I'm talking about prayer, I'm talking about our personal prayer life. I'm not talking about, there's a place for corporate prayer. You see that all through Scripture, all right? Jesus isn't referencing corporate prayer. He's referencing individual prayer, okay? I know that when I go into that secret place and spend time with God, I want to make sure that I have enough time. Even if it's 5 minutes, I want it to be a quality 5 minutes. But I want to go where I can be undisturbed, where the phone isn't going to be ringing, the kids aren't going to be pounding on the door, that type of a thing. We want to get away from the best we can from interruption and distraction. Then third, we want to be unheard. We want to be unobserved. We need to find a place where we can be undisturbed. Third, a place where we can be unheard. Whether we want to pour our heart out before God and not be hindered by someone maybe hearing us. But also it can mean that we need to speak less and listen more. And not treat it like a 911 emergency. And then hang up. We need to come into that secret place. And we quiet our minds, and quiet our bodies, and shut out all the distractions. And we listen for that still small voice. And we allow the Lord to begin to interact with us. It's more important that we engage the heart and the mind than it is the mouth. Now we need to pray. You know, part of prayer is you know, verbalizing, but do you understand what I'm saying? We can pray all we want with our mouth, and our heart and our mind can be totally unattached and disengaged. Okay? That won't accomplish much of anything. So the first thing we need is time. The second, we need a location where we can have this secret place where we can meet with God and just enjoy it and not be distracted from it. The third thing that's essential for a healthy prayer life is that of relationship. Jesus said in verse 6, and your Father who sees the secret will repay you. He uses the term Father. He doesn't say Lord. This is your Father. Who sees in secret, he'll repay you. Think of this time in the secret place as daddy and daughter time for you ladies. Guys, think of it as father and son bonding. God covets that. He desires that. Parents, what if your children never wanted to spend time with you? Or the only time they came to you is when they had a crisis, and they wanted you to bail them out, whether it's financially or any other way, and as soon as you bail them out, they're gone again until the next crisis. That's how many of God's children treat him. They only connect with him when there's an emergency. God wants and has so much more for us. I think it's interesting. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. What does he owe us? Why does he have to repay us anything?
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It is what it is. And God wants to communicate, connect, and relate with us as any parent who loves his child does. I found verse 8 to be a fascinating statement. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask. Ever thought about that? God already knows what we need before we even ask. Matter of fact, he knows better what we need, what we ourselves know what we need. So why bother asking? Because so many people define prayer as asking God, you know, we take this grocery list and say, God, I need this, 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 and this. Please bless me, and do it quick. My show's about ready to start. And
that's true.
It's like, if you ever ask yourself, if God already knows what we need, why do we have to ask him in prayer? Why do we have to go to him in prayer with him? Is it to remind him in case he's forgotten? No. The whole purpose and intention of going to God in prayer is to connect and to relate with him. Not mouth to mouth, but heart to heart. Prayer is an acknowledgement of our need and dependency on God. Just as a young child is dependent upon their parent, we too are dependent upon God. When we go to him in prayer, it is acknowledgement of that dependency. Let me ask you this. How would one communicate with God apart from prayer? Why don't you just think about that question? Well, I read my Bible. Yeah, the Word of God, you know, God's Word is God's will. It teaches us about God. It teaches us God's, it gives us instruction on how to live our life and all these things. And then we can learn about God. But what about the heart to heart? If we do not pray, if you do not pray, how do you connect with God? How do you have that father-son bonding, that daddy-daughter time, if there's no prayer going on? I go back to my earlier statement. So the prayer is our line of communication. No prayer equals no communication. When there's no communication, there's no depth of relationship. And I believe that we're heading toward a time in history where that depth of relationship is going to be absolutely vital. I really believe that. Prayer is a demonstration of trust in the one that we're praying to. How many of the guy can be trusted?
That's right.
I love this verse in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. It really describes the praying Christian. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. And the heat's coming, folks. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. That is a fruitful Christian, and that describes a Christian who prays heart to heart, connects with God. I want to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sweat when things are starting to get challenging, you know, in the bigger picture. You know, I don't want to stress over it. I want to just walk in the confidence of who God is. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, I want to close with this. I want to give you the benefits of a healthy prayer life. And I took just a few minutes to... There are many, many more that I could have written down here, but I put down the five that just came to my mind kind of off the cuff. These are benefits of a healthy prayer life, of not just rambling with some words that when our heart and our mind is disengaged, but this heartfelt communicating with God. These are some of the benefits we can expect. Number one is overwhelming peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Another benefit of a healthy prayer life is strength for daily living. Those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will run and not grow weary. So the third benefit of a healthy prayer life is the discovery of God's plans and purposes. We all know Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for plans to give you a future and a hope. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you get into that secret place, then you come heart to heart to connect with me. There's no greater place to be than in the center of God's will for your life. When you know that you know that you know that you know, this is where God has you.
Amen.
Because regardless of the storm, regardless of the adversity, you will not be moved.
Amen.
Because you know. It is a wonderful thing, and God has that plan and purpose for each one of us, but the discovery of it is life-changing. It's life-altering. The fourth benefit of a healthy prayer life is help in the time of need. Psalm 48. I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my voice. He took my feet out of the miry clay, put them on the solid rock, and he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God. And many heard, and as a result, came to Christ. And read the song. But it's help in the time of need. There are times that we do have to make a 911 call to God. Well, let's just make sure that's the exception and not the rule. Those should be rare moments. All the other times we call because we love them. I talk to my kids a lot on the phone. My grandkids. I went to the hospital this week. Went to the ER with some stomach pain. And they thought maybe it was a gallbladder attack or food poisoning, gallbladder, something. I don't know. But anyway, on the way, Nancy and I texted our kids and had them crying. And I get a text back from my grandson. Grandpa, I love you. Make them help you be all better. And it was like, oh no. It made my heart melt when my grandson reached out to me and expressed his love. How much more will our heart melt when God reaches back to us and lets us know how much he cares and how much he wants to help us? Then the final point. The final benefit of a healthy prayer life is safety and protection from the storms of life. Just read Psalm 91. Storms are inevitable. Storms are a part of life. Are they not?
Amen.
And I think that we are privileged to live in some extraordinary times right now. And I believe there is that very distinct possibility that in the days ahead, the storms will become very, very large and very, very historical. And, but we don't have to worry. God is there. He's our shelter. He's our protection. We know everything's going to be okay. We just know that. My challenge to you this week is that you would make the time to spend with God. It doesn't have to be 2 hours or an hour. Give God 10, 15 minutes of quality time. If you say, well, I have my prayer times right down the road. Well, that's good. But I would dare say that you're probably distracted.
Yeah.
All right? Your attention is split between praying and not hurting anybody. I challenge you to make that time, even if it's to get up 15, 20, 30 minutes earlier. Make a cup of coffee, whatever. Just have that alone time with God, that heart-to-heart connection with Him. Go to a place. I have my den. I can go to my den and just shut the door and, get up before the kids get up, whatever. Find that place where you can have those few moments with God. I promise you, when you dial in, He'll pick up. There's some things that He wants to say to us that will help to get us through the day and through the week. So make the time, find the place. listen more than we speak. Engage the heart and see what God has to say to us. And I believe that it will be life transforming. And it's something that you want to do on a regular basis, is if you can have a good week or a good couple of weeks. But then distractions will come. If you get away from it, again, make it a priority. Jump back into it. Don't be legalistic whatsoever. But I tell you, those that you love, you want to spend time with. Is that true?
Amen.
If you love God, you're going to want to spend time with Him. And you find home. You may have to be a little creative, and it may look differently from one day to the next sometime. But the best you can, make the time, find the place, listen, hang out. Don't treat it like a 911.